My dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information, and this is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And today's recording date is Sunday, July the 17th, 2011. And we were talking about how Satan would turn us into jail for standing up for the truth, standing up for righteousness. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil. The word devil, 1228 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary on the Greek side. Ah, diabolos, 1228. And this is how the Spanish people call the devil diablo, el diablo. In the Greek is diabolos. That's how the Spanish get diablo for devil, coming from the Greek. And so this word in the Greek means prone to slander. That's what the devil does. Slanders the oppressed, slanders the colonized, the poor, the afflicted, and the needy. Accused falsely. Look how, sisters and brothers, how the ruling class and the ruling families and the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, using their presidents, using their prime ministers. You see, these ruling class are the real live devils in human form, human flesh, using presidents, using prime ministers, using heads of state, heads of government, heads of financial institutions and educational institutions, using them to accuse the oppressed, the poor, the afflicted, the needy for the problems of society. Blaming the budget deficit and crisis on the masses, the oppressed, the working class people, as if it's our fault that we're in such debt. Well, this is a false accusation. The blame should go to the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the ruling class, the ruling families, and the puppets that do their bidding. So the devil, through the synagogue of Satan, House of Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, etc., accusing us falsely. And so the devil will turn us into prison, shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and that ye may have tribulation 10 days. But be faithful unto death. Unfortunately, some of us may die in this struggle. But it says we will be given a crown of life. And let's look at it as not dying physically, but dying to the old mentality, the old thinking, the thinking of the oppressor, the thinking of the ruling class and ruling families. We must kill that mentality in this time, so that we may have the crown of life. Let me see. Let me look up crown. 4735. The Greek side. This is the New Testament. The Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. It is Stephanos. 4735. Stephanos. A crown. A mark of royal. An exalted rank. That's what a crown signifies. All right. So, sisters and brothers, honor, eternal blessedness, reward of righteousness, prize to the victors in public games. All right, sisters and brothers. So, what we see is that we're in a fight. We're the oppressed. We're the poor. We're the afflicted. We're the needy. We're the working class. Internationally, it's the same fight. We're in a fight. We're in a struggle. And we must fight. And we must struggle, and we must die in the old mentality, of participation in a system that produces nothing but bloodshed and warfare. 10 million dead in the Congo, hundreds of thousands dead in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan. Who knows how many in Libya, because the media, the CIA media, does not report the truth. And so this system of warfare and bloodshed, and we participate by buying TVs, computers, cell phones, and don't care that those resources have been put together through theft, bloodshed, and warfare. We must die to that mentality so that we may get and attain the crown of life. The word life in the Greek language, on the Greek side of the Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary, found under the number 2222. The word is pronounced zoe, or zoe. It means life, the state of one who is possessed of vitality or is animate, living soul, absolute fullness of life, essential, ethical, which belongs to God, the logos of Christ in human nature, real and genuine, all of these wonderful attributes that are characterized by the word life. This will be what we shall obtain. See, what we're describing in life, the word life, to be alive, to be quick, to be lively, to realize the full life potential that the Most High wants us to experience. This is the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. This is freedom, justice, and equality. So we got to be faithful to death. Yes, some of us may die physically, but we have to die to that old mentality so that we may be born again, resurrected to manifest the kingdom of God in heaven here now on this earth, and that will be life abundantly here and now. Access to everything in the universe equally, together. One people, one Christ, one faith, one Lord. The crown of life, freedom, justice, equality, the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. Now that word faithful means trustworthy, found under the number 4103. Pistos is how you pronounce that in the Greek. Trustworthy and trustful, the Most High, through Christ. And Christ means the Spirit to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, and the Spirit to crush the oppressor. That the Most High is entrusting us with this message, okay? And so we must go forth and be faithful and trustworthy to Jesus. Jesus means justice, trustworthy, with the Spirit of justice, the Word of justice. Be faithful, be trustworthy with Christ, the crusher, the anointed crusher of the wicked oppressor. The synagogue of Satan is to be crushed and to be destroyed. The power of the synagogue of Satan is to be destroyed. We have been entrusted with that duty, with that mission. Be faithful, be trustworthy, be trustful to defend the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Be faithful to death. That's what I was going to say. The Black Panthers in jail, many of them, for 20, 30 years, many of them are they who are protesting their condition, suffering because they took a stand. They had the mind of Christ. They understood that they had been entrusted by a power bigger than themselves to defend the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Many of them in jail for 20, 30 years, getting old. Leonard Peltier, Native American brother. Mumia Abu-Jamal. Asada Shakur, in exile in Cuba for 20 years, 30 years. Geronimo G. Jaga was not in exile per se, but left out the country. He's just passed on. Danny Cox, Danny D.C. Cox, was one who was a Black Panther who was exiled because of his stand. So we have many Black Panthers, male and female, who have been exiled. But this is something that they have suffered because they had the mind of Christ, the mind of Yahshua, to defend the poor. They understood that they were entrusted with the duty to fight the oppressor. And they suffered. But they have the crown of life. Geronimo Pratt, you have the crown of life. Donald Danny DC Cox, you have the crown of life. Asada Shakur, Leonard Peltier, Mumia Abu-Jamal, in this time, you have the crown of life. And when we stand up, do the job we've been called to do, we will have the crown of life, and we will manifest that full manifestation of the kingdom of God here right now on this earth. Be faithful to death. Be faithful and challenge this Babylon system. Challenge the United States of North America Empire. Challenge France. Challenge Italy. Challenge Canada. Challenge Britain. Challenge the state of Israel. I just heard a wonderful conversation that was conducted by Cornel West, my wonderful doctor, professor, brother, who is holding the line, standing for freedom, justice, equality, standing on behalf of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, and calling out the Obama administration and his capitulation and compromise with these wicked devils. But they had a conversation. He had a conversation with a young caller, 16 years old, a European Jew. And the European Jewish little brother was giving a challenge to Cornel West. And Cornel West was also speaking to Bill Meyer later in the program Smiley and West. And Cornel was challenged as to his views concerning the flotilla. And the European Jew separately took the same position as Bill Meyer, that you can't criticize the state of Israel so much. You give too much power and credence to the Palestinians, who, in the eyes of these two individuals, Bill Meyer and the young European Jew — Bill Meyer is also a European Jew — they don't see the Palestinian people as freedom fighters, as justice seekers. They see the Palestinians as terrorists. But we see the Palestinians as suffering victimization of a wicked system of apartheid implemented by the state of Israel. And yes, there are some who resort to violence, but that pales in the face of the wicked everyday oppression of the state of Israel on the Palestinian people. And as well, there's a wonderful, great peace movement going on, agitation and confrontation through peaceful means in the order or way of Dr. King. No one talks about it. So Cornel made sure that he did not give ground and say that the Palestinians did not have a right to live in justice and freedom and peace and have a state of their own and live free of domination and colonization and exploitation. And I am thankful that he took that tact. So, challenge the system. Dr. King was assassinated, but he lives spiritually, and he has attained the King of Life, the crown of life. Minister Malcolm X was assassinated by the same wicked forces that assassinated Dr. King. The Nation of Islam was infiltrated by the CIA, the FBI, the FOP, and the split between Minister Malcolm and Elijah Muhammad. And that whole drama was orchestrated by the CIA, the FBI, the Fraternal Order of the Police, and everything that occurred, taking the nation away from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, taking it on a course away from protesting, away from standing for the oppressed, the poor, the afflicted, and the needy. That was all planned by the CIA, the FBI. But Elijah Muhammad suffered. Minister Malcolm lost his life to the CIA, the FBI, the FOP. But they have attained the crown of life. Many of those Muslims that came through the nation suffered all type of indignities, but they have attained the crown of life. The Black Panther Party, as we said, many of them have suffered, but they have attained the crown of life. So, who gives the crown of life? Jesus gives the crown of life. Jesus means justice. Jesus means deliverance. In Jesus, justice, deliverance has given the crown of life. Liberty has given the crown of life. Who has given the crown of life? Christ, the anointed crusher of the oppressor, the anointed spirit to crush the oppressor, and the power of the oppressor and the power of the synagogue of Satan has given the crown of life. To give, the word is didomi, 1325 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary means to bestow, to bring forth, to commit, to deliver, to give, to grant. And so, justice and the anointing to crush the power of the oppressor. When we stand up, we will gain the crown of life. Why give the crown of life? Because we stood for Jesus. We stood for justice. To preach Jesus and not preach justice is not to preach Jesus. You have to preach justice. You have to preach freedom. You have to preach equality. You have to preach deliverance of the oppressor. Deliverance of the oppressed from the oppressor. That's what it means to stand up for Jesus and stand up for Christ. Why the crown of life? Because we stood for freedom, justice, equality, freedom, equal rights, and justice for the whole of the human family, for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Why the crown of life? Because we stood for Mayat in Africa, Egypt. The word Mayat, truth, justice, and righteousness, balance, reciprocity, and order, all symbolized by that beautiful, gorgeous black woman with wings. So when we treat our woman right, our sisters, our mothers, our female and feminine portion of the human family, when we treat the sisters right, that's a person, that's a group, that's an organization, that's a church, that's a man that is dealing in truth, justice, and righteousness. When Rome and Britain and America, they want us to administer death to the poor, the afflicted, and the needy. But we preach life. Listen to this. They want us to get in our pulpits and preach death and preach that 911 is the excuse that we need to go and kill Arabs, kill Muslims, kill Asians, kill Africans, just kill and shed blood and kill and shed blood, when in reality 911 was an inside job so that we could be maneuvered into such wicked action. You see, the preachers that we go listen to, who gave them their licenses to preach? The devil gave them their licenses to preach. You say, but I belong to the Church of God in Christ, or I belong to the Baptist Convention, or I belong to this organization or that organization or this denomination or that denomination. When they get their license papers from the authorities who have been given authority by the enemy, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the governments of the United States of North America, and other governments issuing and constructing the seminary schools, that's their leadership. Those institutions are run by Satan, the devil, and these that give the licenses to our wonderful preachers who are sincere, but these papers come from the enemy, and they want us to preach what the slave master preached, what the colonizer preached. They want us to preach that we're to go all over the earth and kill and shed blood and take land, wealth, and resources, but we say no. We're going to take our last break. We preach life, and we will receive the crown of life. See you on the other side of the break.
It is well with me. It is well with me. It is well with me. It is well. It is well with my soul. Interrupted by tragedy. What will my life be like now? I do know that I can handle it if it's what you have all out. It is well with
Greetings, greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date, Sunday, July the 17th, 2011. And now let us shift a little bit and go to some Sunday school lessons that we've been having. And see, whether you're in the Old Testament or the New Testament, it is the revelation of the Most High to the oppressed to break the power of the oppressor. Whether it's Genesis, whether it's Malachi, whether it's Psalms, whether it's Zechariah, whether it's Matthew, whether it's John, whether it's Hebrew, whether it's Titus, whether it's Philemon, or whether it's the book of Revelation, from the front to the back, it's the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. Now, we've been having some lessons on Joshua. And you know, when Moses led the children of Israel, the African Hebrew Israelite nation, out of Egypt, that was a rebellion against slavery, a rebellion against colonization, a rebellion against colonialism. You will recall that, as we say all the time, that European, Indo-European invaders, the ancestors of today's European Jew, the Hyksos, H-Y-K-S-O-S, came into Egypt around 1750 B.C., after having gone through the Arabian Peninsula and infecting that whole region with slavery, colonialism, and exploitation, got into Egypt around 1750 BC, took the throne, kicked the black man and woman off the throne, and took the throne and ruled for 200 years. Slavery, exploitation, colonialism. These Indo-European invader Hyksos took on Egyptian names and Egyptian, African, black Egyptian names and titles and declared themselves Pharaoh. We read the scripture, not understanding history, we think the black man is on the throne. But it was Caucasian people on the throne at this time because they had kicked the black man and woman off the throne. Now, Moses had a choice. Moses was raised as a priest. And the idea of the oppressor is to take the priest class, the religious leadership, and co-opt the religious leadership and maneuver them into preaching a religion that will make the people better colonized and better slaves and better exploited people and so on. So Moses got the knowledge of his African people, because that was not the knowledge of the Hyksos. But that knowledge was yet given to the priests, and Moses took that knowledge of his African, black African sisters and brother ancestors and said, I will reject the Hyksos, I will reject slavery, I will reject colonialism, and I will raise up my people that they may go free and go justified, and raise up my people, the African Hebrew Israelite nation, that will also mixed with African Egyptians and African Hebrews. Take these Africans who have rebelled against slavery and colonialism and exploitation and take them into the Arabian Peninsula, Israel, Palestine as we know it today, and raise them up to fight colonialism there, to fight slavery there, to be a revolutionary there. And the mission was to fight the oppressor, to fight slavery, to fight exploitation, to stand up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. And so Moses goes off the scene, and now Joshua comes on the scene. And Joshua is the Hebrew word for Jesus. That's Jesus' name in the Hebrew language. Remove the J, put a Y there, you get Yahshua or Yahoshua. So we're looking at, in the Old Testament, Yahshua. We're looking at the Deliverer. We're looking at liberty. We're looking at justice. We're looking at returning the health and wealth back to the people. So the oppressed in that region, we were to go to the oppressed and say, stand with us, fight with us against the oppressor. Let's break the power of the oppressor. And you will have league with us. And you will become citizens of the African Hebrew Israelite nation. And so, we think that the Israelite nation went fighting all the inhabitants of that region. But Joshua chapter 9, verse 24, where it says that Joshua was given the directive to go and destroy all of the inhabitants. You see, the wicked interpreters of scripture have done a wicked thing to change the meanings of words, change the thoughts of God, change the thoughts of the writers of the scriptures, and give us a word that is not the equivalent of that in the Hebrew. That word inhabitants in the English means everybody. But when you look up that word in the Hebrew language, I don't have it in front of me, but I've looked it up numerous times. Go to Joshua chapter 9, verse 24. Go to a Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. Look up the word inhabitants. Find the equivalent in Joshua 9, verse 24. Go to online to Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary and Lexicon online at www.elia.com. I always have that in my summary page. And type in the word inhabitants. Find the scripture, Joshua chapter 9, verse 24. Click it. And you will see that that word means the judges, those who sit as judges, those who are the rulers. So the job of the Hebrew Israelite nation was not to fight everybody, but to fight the rulers who were the oppressor, the oppressors, the wicked ruling class and families that had the wicked mentality of the Indo-European Hyksos, who were enslaving and killing the oppressed. And so the job of the African Hebrew Israelite nation was to stand and fight the oppressor, to establish the kingdom of God and heaven right here, right now, on this earth. And metaphorically, we are to kill the oppressive mind, that mind of the oppressor. Not kill bodies. You kill a body, the spirit remains. But if you kill that mind of to oppress, to exploit and enslave and colonize, now we're getting somewhere. So we're to kill that mindset, to kill colonization, to kill slavery, to kill exploitation. And so some of the lessons that we've had. We had a lesson that dealt with the children of Israel going into Jericho. Joshua chapter 2, in that area of Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 2, they hook up with a prostitute. You say, whoa, hook up with a prostitute. Well, what this causes us to do is understand the wickedness of a system that people, that women have been driven to prostitute themselves and gather other women to prostitute themselves so that they may make a living. This is a wicked system in Jericho, and that is only a small sign of the wicked system today. Look at the condition of women. Look at prostitution. Look at women, the trafficking of women and girls and boys and children. Look at even on the level of politicians who prostitute themselves out to the wicked ruling class to do the bidding of the wicked ruling class. Look at this nasty, wicked system. Look at how women suffer. Look at the rapes of women occurring all over the earth. This is the culture of the wicked ruling class and ruling families. So this prostitute in Jericho wanted freedom, justice, and equality. And the African Hebrew Israelite nation went to this woman who represents the oppressed, who are raped and prostituted and destroyed by the wicked ruling class and families. And the king of Jericho knew where she lived and probably obtained some services from her. Her name was Rahab, and she became one of the four mothers of Jesus. Yes, a prostitute has become a foremother of Jesus to show us that God comes through whoever God wants to come through. And God uses the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, and will use a prostitute to help take down a wicked system. And so, this sister Rahab, a black woman, talking to the African Hebrew Israelite nation representative, said, "Yes, I'm with you. I want freedom. I want justice. I want equality. I'm going to allow you to use me to bring that to my people." Her whole family depended on this, institution of prostitution, this way of making a living, because it was a wicked system that had locked them out. The wicked ruling class and ruling families had locked them out, so the Hebrews came to free them. And the walls came tumbling down, as they say. The wall, that wall that protects a wicked system. That wall that protects colonialism, that wall that protects slavery, that wall that protects exploitation. And so we have that same mission today. The wall that protects the synagogue of Satan, who are doing worse than those that were doing in Jericho, worse than the Hyksos that took the throne in Egypt and enslaved our ancestors for 200 years. We have that same mission today to fight the house of Rothschild, to fight the Oppenheimers, to fight the Wall Street oligarchs and the corporate plutocrats, who are the puppeteers. And the puppets are the presidents and prime ministers and so on. We have that same fight to break down the walls that keep that system alive, and break down the walls and the barriers that keep us divided from ourselves. I won't talk to you because you're white. You won't talk to me because I'm black. I won't talk to him or her because he or she is a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist or an animist, when we're all oppressed. And we got to fight and break down these walls that separate us, and break down the walls of oppression, break down the walls of slavery and exploitation. And so we had another lesson where the children of Israel had to make a choice. And they had come upon people who were idolatrous. And there was another lesson that dealt with a fight with the oppressor that the Israelites lost, because one of the African Hebrew Israelites began to steal the wealth. Idolatry is covetousness, to steal what's not yours and kill and cause detriment and harm to your human family. And so one of these fellas, I forget his name, one of these fellas had taken an idol, but the idol only means theft of land, wealth, resources, diamonds, rubies, gold, and whatnot from the oppressed. And so the children of Israel lost that fight with that nation that they were fighting, because there was one in their camp that had taken the mind of the oppressor. And that's the choice we have to make, to reject the mind of the oppressor and to make the wealth and the resources accessible for the whole of the human family. There was another lesson. The children of Israel were fighting those who believed in Balaam and Ashtaroth. But see, that's not the problem. The problem is not the words Baal or Ashtaroth. The problem is that these words were used to cover a wicked system of slavery exploitation. You're talking about idolatry, but the idolatry means slavery, exploitation, theft of land, wealth, and resources. And so the children of Israel had begun to follow after the demons, the other gods, the demons who would cause us to go after slavery and exploitation. And so we see this choice we have to make over and over again, to reject colonialism, to reject slavery, to reject exploitation. The other gods are the demonic forces that will cause us to go after such a wicked system. The demonic forces that manifest through the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the ruling class, and ruling families. And we just had a lesson today dealing with Judges, chapter 3, verse 15 down to about 30, in which we see the choice being made again. Are you going to fight the oppressor? Are you going to use that which you have been blessed with to fight the oppressor and stand for the oppressed? We had an African Hebrew Israelite named Ehud. Ehud was a judge of Israel, a judge who came to deliver the Israelites from the oppressor. Because the Israelites, the African Hebrew Israelite nation, have fallen into oppression because they have decided to go along with the oppressor. And that's our problem today. We have decided to go along with the oppressor and help to kill and help to shed blood and help to destroy people. So now we suffer. And so, Ehud, which means unity, united. He united with the message of God. He united with the message of freedom, justice, and equality. Went to the Moabite king. The king who was fat. The word fat means wealthy, rich, overindulgence. This Moabite king named Eglon had taken land, wealth, and resources and had oppressed the Israelite nation and others. And so Ehud now, it says he moved from the quarry. Q-U-A-R-R-I-E-S. The quarry is the place where the stones and the diamonds and the rubies that were stolen were taken and made into precious goods so that they may be consumed. And we see today the diamonds and the whatnot stolen from the Congo, made into TVs and cell phones and whatnot. So we have that same choice. We have to move from the quarry, move from participating in such a wicked system. And he went and found the king, and he was left-handed, and the dagger was on his right thigh, and he reached over with his left hand and took the dagger, the sword, and stabbed the oppressor king, the oppressor ruling class ruler, the synagogue of Satan, the oppressor, the colonizer, the slave master, stabbed him. What does this mean metaphorically? The left side, the side of the Holy Spirit, the side of the mother, the side of the W-O-M-B, the side of the womb, the side of righteousness. The right side is the side of the Father, the side of knowledge, the side of spirituality, the side of justice. The sword is the word of God. Now I'm going to start this up next week, but the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. This is the metaphorical teaching of this lesson. It's not telling you to go stab people, kill people, but use that sword of righteousness, that word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. The tongue is like a two-edged sword. Jesus had the sword in his mouth. Jesus had the word of God in his mouth. Dr. King had the word of God in his mouth. Minister Malcolm X, Fannie Lou Hamer, Sojourner Truth, Frederick Douglass, Elijah Muhammad had the word of God in their mouths. The sword, the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. So, with justice and with righteousness, the left side is morality, Holy Spirit, the womb, righteousness. Reach over to the right side, which stands for the germ of life, which is sperm, which is the word of God, with the womb that the word comes into to produce righteousness. And so the right side means justice. The right side means knowledge. You take the sword that is on the right side, which is the word of God, and we come together with truth, justice, and righteousness, and freedom, justice, and equality, and we organize, and we speak truth to power, and we will overcome the oppressor and break the power of the oppressor. I'm going to take this up in detail next session. Jah love, Jah bless. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people. Thank you.
Amen.